Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Ron Hall. He is the producer and co-writer of Same Kind of Different as Me. Now, we recently talked with Darren Moorman, one of the other producers, about this movie, but we've got Ron Hall today. Ron is the guy who lived this story, and he's the one who wrote the book, and I'm just delighted that we can have him on the broadcast with us. So, Ron, welcome.
Thank you, Jim. I'm delighted to be here with you. So I'm sure Darren did a great job, and he knows the story very well. So, but I guess talking to the guy that lived it might have just a little bit different insight.
I think so. Ron, when you were headed into this story, you know, I often talk about things like the book of Job or other things where people were going through experiences that, because the Bible made them famous, we kind of know what comes next. But the people who were experiencing it had no such heads up. They did not know what was coming next. When you began to experience the story that is told in Same Kind of Different as Me, you had no idea where this was going to lead you, did it?
Oh, certainly not, Jim. I thought we were just going to serve a few meals at a homeless shelter and possibly meet the man of her dream, and that would be it. We would just, maybe he would have a word for us from God, and then we would be getting on back to our lives, just in keeping our marriage together.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I mean, this really, it was motivated not by your just overflowing love for homeless people and those in need. You were trying to save your marriage.
Well, you know, I had made a promise to my wife. She had shown me Christ-like forgiveness for my infidelity. Mm-hmm. And I made a promise to her on that day that I would do anything that she asked me the rest of our lives together.
Bless you.
This was actually 10 years after that. The first time she ever asked me to do anything except to be faithful and to, you know, to start back walking with Christ the way we had done before the affair. So,
But when you entered into this, as you said, it was with the expectation that this was a side trip rather than a brand new direction.
Well, yes. I didn't realize it at the time, but God was about to reset my compass.
Yes.
And repaint the canvas of my life, because my life story is totally now was changed on the day that I met this homeless man.
Yeah. Denver was not initially somebody who was easy to get along with, was he?
that's the understatement of the year. Denver had been on the streets for 25 years. He had no friends, and no one dared to speak to him. Mm-hmm. He was considered the lion of the jungle because he ruled the streets with fear and intimidation. And most people on the streets even called him suicide, because messing with him was the equivalent of committing suicide, they would say. So, yes, he was not a person looking for friends. He was a person who was comfortable in his role as probably the enforcer of justice on the streets with very few words. So.
Yeah. Well, I am so thankful for the way that God is able to do what is humanly impossible, and that includes radically changing lives with his grace and power.
Exactly.
And you experienced that.
Well, I did. It was a total transformation of me from, you know, I was a very successful art dealer and part-time rancher, and I loved both of those things and had no plans in my life to be doing anything other than that. And And so when we arrived at the shelter, I was thought it would just be for, you know, one day or 2 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it would be a lifetime commitment to it. So, you know, it was totally a radical change in my life how I began to think, you know, even after just a few weeks into this, I began to think much less about art and a lot more about humanity and what we could do to actually make a change and a difference in the city.
Amen. And that is evidence of radical life change as a result of grace. God is the one who looks at us and sees things that we don't see in ourselves and we don't see in others. But God looks and he sees things that we would not have recognized. And out of that makes something that is truly beautiful. Because what has happened was not just a change in your life or just a change in your city, but it was a change that has spread change all across this nation, hasn't it?
Well, yes. One just simple godly woman's dream that she believed was from God and being faithful to follow through to explore that. And an act of kindness to a man who wanted no kindness now has become pretty much a national movement to let's change the world one act of kindness at a time. And we launched a program called Making a Difference Across America on October the 18th that was in 176 red carpet events in 120-something different cities to begin making a difference in the way we see others who are different from us.
Absolutely marvelous. And you've also been partnered with a lot of existing ministries to the homeless. When the movie was launching, you had a partnership with some wonderful ministries, some of which have been around a very long time, but recognize that they're getting fresh wind under their wings with this movie.
Well, this movie was painted on the canvas of a homeless shelter, one that was very much in need of repairs and need a little boost of energy there in the shelter. And but it's so like so many shelters across America that get overlooked because a lot of people just blame the homeless for their own problems, and they don't, you know, they judge without knowing their heart. You know, my friend Denver used to tell me, he said, most people look at the homeless as a problem, but God looks at them as an opportunity for the faithful to show the love of Christ.
Amen. Amen. That was wonderful wisdom from a man who had a lot of wise things to say, didn't he? What were some of his Denverisms?
Well, one of the things he asked me on one of the very first days I was sitting with him, you know, it took me 5 months to become friends with him, and we were sitting on the curb outside the dumpster where he lived in the city of Fort Worth, and he asked me one of the first mornings if I was one of them Christians. He said, are you one of them Christians? And I said, well, yes. Why do you think I'm down here helping? He said, Mr. Ron, you ain't down here helping nobody but yourself feel better about yourself because, he said, you know, because you probably ain't done nothing for nobody but yourself for a long time. He said, but let me tell you, you know, you ain't helping nobody till you crawl down in the hole with them. And when they're strong enough to crawl out on your back, then you've helped them, but until then, you're just blessing people. So we appreciate your blessings, but let me tell you, we're perfectly capable of putting spaghetti on a plate for ourselves, and so if you think that's helping, then you're wrong. But he said, we appreciate your blessings, but if you really want to help somebody, you got to crawl down the hole with them and get below them so they can crawl out on your back. And but anyway, he said, that's not really what I wanted to ask you about, you Christians. And I said, well, what did you want to know? He said, well, what I want to know is why all you Christians worship one homeless man on Sunday, then turn your back on the first one you see on Monday. He said, Mr. Ron, you never know whose eyes is God is watching you out of, and it ain't going to be your preacher or your Sunday school teacher. He said, it might be a fellow that looks like me. And he said, but it ain't me. But it sure might be a fellow that looks like me. God's just checking you out to see what kind of Christian you really are.
Did you get some chills?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, he told me, he said, again, I mean, this man was full of wisdom. He said, look down at the end of the street there. What do you see? And I said, I see the courthouse. He said, exactly. He said, let me tell you something, Mr. Ron. He said, God, the courthouse is full of judges, and God don't need no more judges. God needs servants. So if you're going to come down here and serve the homeless, don't be judging. So.
You got schooled.
Oh, he schooled me a lot of times. I mean, one time he told me, he said, sometimes you successful folks, y'all can rise up so high trying to get yourself some more stuff, but on the way up, you don't even stop to get to know God. But he said, let me tell you something. You can never stoop too low down here on the streets to help somebody and have God miss knowing about you.
Hmm. You know, folks, this is not a problem just in Fort Worth. And this is not a solution just for Fort Worth. The Bible says that the one who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And that truth is one that a lot of people overlook. But what we're hearing in this message, what Ron is sharing with us from Same Kind of Different as Me, is that it's not just the folks who are giving to the poor who are doing something good, but it is the poor who can actually be used by God in a very powerful way to do things that need to be done and to speak things that need to be heard and to show things that need to be seen to those of us who've been blessed with more. The poor have a lot to give.
Well, in our case, Jim, this man was the one who really gave everything. You know, he is the one that God used to bless us during the darkest 19 months of our lives when my wife fought a valiant battle with cancer. Mm-hmm. But God gave him a fresh word for us every night that he would spend all night long on his knees. And this was a man who I thought had nothing to offer me in a friendship. Yeah. That I was going to be his benefactor, and if he behaved himself and cleaned up, you know, I would take him around with me and let him see life as I knew it, mm-hmm. instead of just his view from a dumpster in the inner city.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just marveled at how God chose the dirtiest, most dangerous, crazy, homeless man to be his messenger to us, mm-hmm. during these dark 19 months of our lives. And but then if you really think about it, isn't that just like God?
Amen.
And that is the God we serve, who's constantly full of surprises, but always full of blessings if we just will sit there and quietly listen to him and to just observe what is going on around us. So,
oh, amen. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And certainly this story, the story of Same Kind of Different as Me, reveals God's grace, changing lives in such a way that it impacts many other people. Now, what year was it that you first went down to the homeless shelter, Ron?
That was 1998.
And a lot has happened since, including the fact that I don't think you had aspired up to then to be a New York Times bestselling author.
Well, To tell you the truth, in fact, I was just honored this past year as the distinguished alumni for Texas Christian University. And when the chancellor was giving me the award, I said, "Did you read my book and find out that I really had to fudge, I guess, to get through TCU because I never wrote anything original. I copied our fraternity papers from the files for all the papers that I had to write." And I said, so I don't really feel like I deserve this award. But he said, "You're not getting it for maybe your academic record. You're getting it for your humanitarian service." But no, I never thought I would write a book. In fact, it was Denver's idea to write the book. You know, my homeless friend who didn't read and write told me, he said, "Nobody's ever going to believe our story. We got to write us a book." And I said, "Well, how's that going to happen? Because neither one of us have ever written anything, and you don't even know how to write." And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you my part of the story. You write it down, and you already know your part, so you write that down. And when we get through with the two of them, we're going to put them together, and that'll be our book." So this was right after my wife died, and he moved in with me and lived with me for the next 10 years. But for the first 3.5 years, we sat at the breakfast table every morning, and we wrote us a book. And so,
praise God. Praise God. And that book, you had a huge publicity engine promoting that book in order to make it come right out immediately on the New York Times bestseller list, right?
If you call putting the books in the trunk of our car and driving around the ladies' Bible studies all over Texas, that's publicity engine. Well,
I love the fact, as the PR materials now say, the word of mouth hit became a New York Times platinum bestseller and stayed on that list for more than 3.5 years. Folks, that's one more miracle story right there, is that this book, wonderful book, but this book didn't have some publishing house that was promoting it like crazy and getting Ron on all the talk shows and that kind of thing. That wasn't what happened. God took this book and the power of this story and spread the word through word of mouth so that it became a New York Times bestseller, New York Times platinum bestseller, and stayed there for 3.5 years. Ron, that's absolutely astounding, isn't it?
Well, that is nothing but God's grace on this book, because after about 3 months, when we had a pile of books in our living room that were going nowhere, we'd given them away to our friends, and Denver one day told me, he said, "Mr. Ron, we didn't write this book for all those TV shows that nobody's invited us to be on." He said, "We wrote this book for Miss Debbie, but more important than that, we wrote it for God." He said, "So we're going to give this pile of books over to God right now, and you and I ain't never going to ask nobody to do nothing for this book again ever. This is God's book, and he's going to take care of his business, and we're going to be doing just fine." So we laid our hands on that pile of books, and we gave them over to God. And God got pretty quiet for a while. We didn't hear much. We were starting doing these ladies' Bible studies, and after we had done, maybe 100 or so Bible studies all over Texas,
yeah,
certainly Dallas-Fort Worth area, Denver asked me one day, he said, "I know it ain't none of my business," he said, "but do all white ladies got Bible studies?" He said, "Every white lady we run into asks us to do her Bible studies." And I said, "Well, it seems like it, Denver." And he said, "Well, but you know what's curious to me, Mr. Ron, that there ain't never one of these white ladies ever invited us to do no Bible doings." He said, "You know, is they just sitting around studying? Is anybody out there doing?" He said, "Because, you know, since I don't read and write, I don't know how to study, so I ain't going to no more studies. But if they want to invite me to a Bible doing, tell them to call me, and I'm going to show up."
And it turns out there are some people who are into Bible doings, aren't there?
That's right. That's right. That was the lady that we wrote the book about, my late wife, Debbie. She was absolutely a godly woman who heard from God that, you know, her ministry was to be the hands and feet of Christ.
Praise
on
God.
The streets and in the inner city of Fort Worth, Texas. And so, you know, Denver used to say, you know, we ain't nothing but a couple of nobodies, but we was loved by a real somebody who gave meaning to our life, and that was Miss Debbie. So it was his stubborn angel, he called her, because she wouldn't give up on him. She just kept hounding him for months on the streets till we finally had a conversation with him and ultimately became friends and part of our family.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, folks don't, I think, don't generally contemplate, especially when I hear what some people say about where they will and won't go to church. Folks don't contemplate the fact that we're going to be part of God's family forever. My wife and I adopted 4 of our 7 children, and our kids didn't get a vote on who else got to come into the family. You know, that's not the children's decision. At least I don't believe it should be, because it certainly isn't when it comes to God's family. God saves a lot of people that I would not have suggested be on the invitation list. And some of the people that I think would just make excellent members of the family hate the Father so much and reject the Son that they are not going to be in heaven unless God totally turns them around. But God has chosen all kinds of folks from all kinds of backgrounds with all kinds of personalities and all kinds of educations and financial situations. God has chosen an amazing array of people from every tribe and tongue under heaven in order to make the banquet table full. And we are one day going to be together, not just for a meal in heaven. We're going to be together for all eternity as brothers and sisters. And again, your story of what happened in your life, Ron, and in your wife's life is a beautiful illustration of just that. God bringing people together who the world would never have put together. You wouldn't have planned it. Denver wouldn't have planned it. And even though your wife was sensitive and obedient to the Lord's leading, I don't think she would have planned it. God is the one who planned it, and God made it happen.
Amen to that. You know, I just heard from some people in North Carolina that a lady came out of the theater the other night after watching our film and said, "I want to be a Christian like Miss Debbie. Can somebody help me understand how to do that?"
Praise God. Praise God. That's what it's about. And lives are being changed. Folks, I want to recommend, if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go see Same Kind of Different as Me. If you haven't read the book, this is a book that really, it's a true story, and it is a true story about the true story of God's grace and how God works in order to change lives. None of us would have any hope whatsoever if it weren't for Jesus. None of us. If you think that somehow you deserve to go to heaven, you're not going to heaven, not at the present time. The only folks who receive God's grace are those who know they need it. And if you're listening today and you're saying, "Well, you know, I'm not homeless, and I'm not at all eager to get to know the people that are homeless. I don't really want to do that." You need to realize that our home is not here. Our home is with the Lord. Denver used to tell folks that all of us are homeless and we're just working our way home.
Exactly.
I want you, if you're listening today and you say, "I want to know how to get home," I want you to call us. You can call our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. And we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to tell you how to know the Father's love and how to come home. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We want you to know him. Ron, thank you so much, not only for being on the broadcast today, but thank you for your faithfulness to God's call. Thank you for your willingness to be used as you have and to touch so many lives. You're making a difference, brother, and we're thankful.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you having me on your show. You know, I want to just, you know, our movie illustrates so beautifully that it's not the color of our skin that divides us. Mm-hmm. It's the condition of our hearts.
Amen.
And this, we all have to examine the condition of our hearts. And when we get them right, we will all come together through Christ, and we can actually change the world.
Amen. Amen. Great word. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.